Previously on Willing to Adapt.
Did you look into why the movie ended up becoming popular?
No, I did not.
It's quite funny.
Why?
What kind of happened during the 60s?
Oh, drugs.
Yep.
Okay. So, really? So that's what led to the popularity?
Yes, so...
Interesting.
Yeah, that was a little weird at the end of the book.
Yes.
It was kind of like this idea of, like, you can create Wonderland for yourself, kind of, because... And then there was a weird, I don't know, meta moment where they're like, and Alice would grow up and would always remember Wonderland, and she would tell her children about Wonderland and stuff like that. So it was interesting, because it was like, I don't know what he meant by that. I'm sure people have always written things. I kind of viewed it more as like, Wonderland is the childlike imagination in all of us that we can create for ourselves.
I'm Eric Von Crumley.
And I'm Romy Reyes.
Have you ever wondered how a book becomes a movie?
Or how a movie becomes a musical?
Or how anything is adapted at all?
Join us as we talk about your favorite stories and all the changes that were made along the way.
But more importantly, why? This is Willing to Adapt.
We weren't going to talk about the 90s Hallmark made-for-TV version, really, because I wasn't sure if you were going to watch it or not. So I didn't really prepare much for it, but I think we can talk about it very briefly, just because I think it's really worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, definitely.
What did you think?
So, I liked it.
Oh, it's so good.
I liked it.
Like, it's definitely a made-for-TV movie, and that, like, it's not... quite the highest caliber.
I actually got a kick out of watching the way they interpreted the costuming and makeup. Yeah. But I will say I think it's still too close to the original to appeal to a modern audience.
Sure. Like even for me, I love that movie, but it does feel slow.
Yes.
Yes.
And even the humor is closer to the humor of the book versus like say the Disney version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 1990s made-for-TV version on Hallmark, back when Hallmark actually meant something and not just romantic comedies that all have the same plot formula. It had a great cast.
Yeah.
Like, my gosh, how did they get all those people? Mm-hmm. I do not know. Miranda Richardson, Martin Short, Gene Wilder.
And Hagrid?
Why?
I don't know.
Anyway.
And Norm?
So Cheers. Many big names, ridiculously, so many big names.
Yep.
It's so good. The one thing you were saying that I liked about it is all of the animal creatures were played by real actors, but like the costuming made them look animal-esque.
Yes.
Like they weren't dressed up to look like animals so much as their costumes emulated animals.
Only a handful of times was their actual... either Jim Henson puppets or I think the really
it
only
felt
one was
very theatrical.
It did. And I think the main one was the mouse at the beginning.
And the white rabbit's the puppet.
He is.
Yeah.
But the mouse at the beginning, he turns from a mouse into a human.
Which I think was good because it introduced the idea that these are supposed to be animals by having that transition.
I actually pulled my book out to remember what the birds were.
Mm.
I knew one was the dodo, but I couldn't remember what the others were.
One's a chicken, I think. Doesn't matter.
Eaglet. It was an eaglet.
Yes. But it's fun. That one is cool because it does that kind of like Wizard of Oz thing where in this version, Alice is supposed to sing at a garden party.
Yeah.
But she's super nervous and doesn't want to do it. And so she chickens out. And so you get to meet her family in this version very briefly. But at the garden party, all the people who came to the party are people she discovers in Wonderland.
Yeah.
So it felt very Wizard of Oz to me.
Oh, Ben Kingsley.
Yes.
The caterpillar.
Yep. Whoopi Goldberg.
And that's something I forgot to mention on the Disney one was the main story didn't really have a lesson out of the book. But Alice in Wonderland kind of did. Mm-hmm. It was her doing her lessons and not always running to nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
This one really did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lesson to be learned.
The one thing about the Disney version I neglected to say is Walt Disney himself has stated he regrets Alice in Wonderland because he believes that it lacked heart.
Really?
Yeah. I don't quite agree with that, but compared to other movies that he had done, it makes some sense. I don't think it helps that the story is very episodic.
Yeah.
But there's that.
Hmm.
But yeah, so in the Hallmark version, every character she encounters in Wonderland actually intentionally or unintentionally helps her to prepare to sing.
Yes.
For the people at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And to not be afraid to stand up and be heard and be confident. And
there was even whatever. A montage at the end that showed it.
Yes, I love that montage. Yeah. And so what ends up happening is when she gets to the end of the movie, there's always some added bit of lines and stuff in there because it's about that now. But at the end, when she says, like, you're all just a pack of cards and, like, she was fed up with it and stuff at the trial, I think the White Rabbit says, does none of this matter to you or something?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no. And he's like, then you don't need us anymore.
Yeah.
And then it transitions back to her waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they were all there to help her get through this,
yeah,
essentially, which I thought was kind of fun. True, like, Lewis Carroll purists didn't like that because they don't like consistency and stuff in a nonsensical story.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the story is not meant to be like that,
mm-hmm,
but I understand why you do that for modern audiences because people want that.
They do.
And it's still nonsensical.
No, it was. But the other thing I was going to mention earlier that I loved when I first saw it was was she peering outside or when the parents are walking outside and, mm-hmm, you pass by
all the characters?
Well, not just that, but the first group is playing cards.
Uh-huh.
And then the second group are playing chess.
And then the March Hare has the bread on his head, he has ears.
Yeah. While the guy who Martin Short is drinking tea.
The characters, yes.
Yeah.
And it was like the Duchess sneezes because the person, the mm-hmm, woman's doing the pepper.
And then the
Miranda Richardson
is
and
playing
the,
croquet with,
yes,
her, yeah, her
who husband. End up being the King and Queen of, mm-hmm, Hearts, yes.
Yeah.
It was very well done.
It was, and yet I appreciated all that. Yeah. And then, too, there was also some of the things I wasn't sure how they would come across, but whether it was the carpenter and
the what was the carpenter?
Carpenter.
It was kind of fun how they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a puppet show.
Mm-hmm. Or the Mock Turtle and Griffin.
Yes.
I thought those scenes were well done.
And because this version was trying to encourage Alice,
mm-hmm,
there were still characters that were getting very frustrated with her and, like, didn't want her there.
Yeah.
But because they were there to essentially encourage her and to help teach her a lesson now,
mm-hmm,
they were a lot more endearing.
Yeah.
So even when I was rereading the scene with the Griffin and the Mock Turtle in the book,
mm-hmm,
it seemed more like they were kind of frustrated that they'd have to talk to her.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Hallmark version, they were much more friendly.
And I think it lent to the dream aspect, too.
Right.
So, yeah, because their whole point was to teach her to,
mm-hmm,
to sing.
And I like that they actually showed the lobster quadrille.
Yeah.
Because in the book, they don't show it. They said, we don't have any lobsters here, we can't do it. But in the Hallmark version, they have them.
Yeah.
And I think Richard Hartley, I think, did the music for that. And only because I was just listening to it and I saw the name. But he does a great job of creating music for songs that existed in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, will you walk a little faster?
What did you think of the caterpillar in the movie, Kingsley version?
It was definitely different.
It was very different than both the book, yeah, and the
She stood Disney up for version. Herself more in this version,
mm-hmm,
for sure.
Did he make a good caterpillar?
I kind of liked him because he was kind of like that distracted, I'm on hookah kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by a good caterpillar?
Like, did he do the role justice and
think so?
I thought he did.
I thought it was fine.
I did too, but I, yeah. I was...
There was nobody in it that I thought should not have done what they did.
No, but it just threw me, because I was expecting more along the lines of either the book or the Disney version.
Sure.
So it threw me for... It was a pleasant interpretation.
Well, because they did the whole humanistic animal,
mm-hmm,
thing, he was kind of like a general, and they, yeah, made a point of that, which they added in for that version, mm-hmm, like general caterpillar... whatever.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Now, which,
it was an artistic take on the whole thing, for sure.
Who's the better Mad Hatter? Edwin or Martin Short?
That's not fair. That's not fair.
I know. They're very different.
Okay, well, let me say this. My favorite character in the Disney version is the Mad Hatter.
Okay.
And my favorite character in the Hallmark version is the Mad Hatter. Okay. So I don't think it's fair. They're different.
I hate you. Tell me your answer and I'll tell you mine.
I think they both did a good job, but if I had to pick a favorite between the two, it would be Edwin.
Really?
Yeah.
They're very different.
They're very different, yeah.
Part
of it is because I grew up watching Edwin and other stuff, and I appreciate his humor a little bit more than I do Martin Short.
I think I'm going to pick Martin Short, though.
Okay.
I love Edwin as Mad Hatter. I think he's great, and it's so funny. Everything he does, every inflection, everything is so funny. But the Mad Hatter that Martin Short does is closer to the book in that it's more intellectual. Mm-hmm. And so but he adds his own flair.
Yeah.
And so I used to think that scene was much closer to the book, that it was almost like a page to page remake. And then when I was reading the book, I realized, oh, they actually added a lot in for the Hallmark version. Mm-hmm. The whole auntie's wooden leg and.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was funny.
But he's like, time took offense to the number. And since then, time stopped. And then he just freezes.
Yeah.
But like they added lines like, well, I rest my case. Mm-hmm. And he's like, where? There. And it's like a pack of cases. And, you know, stuff like that felt very Lewis Carroll. But mm-hmm. It was added in for their version.
Yeah.
So I liked that.
Okay.
Whereas I like Edwin, but he's very different from the book.
He's more goofy.
Yes, much more goofy. Very vaudeville, which is what he was.
Which is what he was, yeah.
One of my favorite lines in the Hallmark version that Martin Short says that's not in the book is when Alice is saying something and he says, my response to that is both profound and meaningful. Get your hair cut. And it's just like, I think personal remarks are rude. And he's like, I didn't know that.
Yes, I remember
personal
that.
Personal remarks are rude. And he's like, egad, you learn something new every day. Write that down, Marchie. And then that's when he goes into the Why is a Raven like a writing desk.
Yeah.
It's like, the March Hare's like, why is a raven? He's like, I wasn't asking you. He's like, you've heard it before. He's like, don't you think I'm good enough? He's like, I was asking Alice. Like, it definitely had Martin Short's, like, energy.
It did.
And his weirdness. Mm-hmm. But I like Martin Short a lot, so.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard. So, anything else you want to talk about the Hallmark version?
Not that I can think of.
Other than how funny it is.
Not that I can think of. Interestingly enough, I did.
Oh, Christopher Lloyd's in it, too.
Yes, he was as the White Knight, which is from Through the Looking Glass.
Yep.
But I can't remember where I was reading, and I just thought the only thing I thought was kind of sad was that because humor has changed, I did read people's comments that they don't find it funny. But I think it's more because the Hallmark version, yeah. But I think it's because of the type of
it's very quick. You have to pay attention, and it is a little more intellectual.
Does it go back to one of our previous conversations I think we've had in regards to contemporary humor versus, I mean, the different types of humor, for lack of a, for trying to, you know, just to explain it quickly, in the sense that, like, I remember I was listening to someone and they were like, oh yeah, I saw the movie White Chicks, I loved it, and I'm thinking to myself, like,
White Chicks is funny though, but it's different.
It is, but I don't find it humorous
at all.
Well, I don't find Adam Sandler humorous, except in, you know, here and there once in a while. So I mean, it could be just different types of tastes when it comes to humor.
Yes,
do you think it truly? It's just more that it's more of a British, because the Hallmark one was closer. Mm. And I know a lot of Americans who don't like British humor.
No, I just think it was more intellectual.
Okay.
I will argue that there are also funny things in the Disney version that people nowadays will not get because they're not paying attention.
Okay.
Because things come so fast.
Okay.
Like, I was watching it last night, and my dad and I were just laughing. Mm-hmm. And he was in the other room because he could imagine it.
Yeah.
But then he came into the room and I said, I'll go back. He's like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm like, no. This is one of those scenes that you have to actually watch it. Like,
yeah.
Like, there are so many things that happen all the time that if you're not paying attention, like, you're going to miss it.
So. Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And with today's culture of, like, I'm on my phone while I'm watching this, and even when I'm watching it, I'm kind of only kind of paying attention to it, you know? Yeah.
No, that makes sense, because I there's a lot of things I'll watch because, like, one of the things I think that frustrates my wife a little bit is that I like, if I'm going to watch something, I want to give it my attention. So I don't like to, like, she'll put something on and watch it while she's doing work. And I'm like, I have no idea how you can do that. When I'm watching something, I want to give it my attention. And like, lately I've been watching different things and I'll actually laugh out loud. I'll lol. And so, but I have to pay attention. And I'm pretty sure when I was watching Alice the Hallmark special, there were a few times when the wordplay caused me to laugh. And I know, and I was thinking to myself too, like, in my mind, I was thinking, why can't I be that witty?
You could.
I could, but most of the time, those words.
Nobody would get it.
Nobody would get it, yeah. And the funny thing was, I was realizing, oh my gosh, some of that is the humor that I throw out that nobody laughs at. Because every now and then I'll make a dumb joke. And
I know.
They'll just be like, what?
Hey, you know what? As long as we laugh at it.
Yeah. But I love that Carol wordplay of, like, in fact, what do they call it in Looking Glass? Portmanteau?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Portmanteau?
Portmanteau, yeah. It's a French word, I'm
it
assuming.
It is a French word.
You took French.
I did.
Yes.
I did. I don't remember what it means.
No, I don't either. He explains it in the book.
It's two things, technically, because it's like a phrase, but it's also like an actual physical thing.
Yeah, something like that.
Like a portmanteau technically is a briefcase, but I'm not going to go into that. All right. Well, I think we've exhausted everything, unless you can think of something.
Nope, I think we're good.
I would say, if you have not seen the Hallmark version, please give it a shot.
Yes.
Just know that it is a little slower than what you might be used to, but it is very funny and is very clever and is very artistically interesting.
Yes. And I would recommend reading it, too, because there's a lot of scenes in both the Hallmark version and in the novel mm-hmm. that we did not talk about or bring up. So there's still a lot for you to enjoy if you haven't read it or mm-hmm. watched the Hallmark version.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
You ready for, do you want to do scores and then we'll do the type of adaptation?
Sure.
Okay, so our scoring is not fair. I was listening to our episodes while I was editing them and stuff, and I don't think it's fair to say 10 is you would want to watch this all the time, because you can have a great movie that you don't want to watch all the time.
That's true.
Okay, so the book, on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being, I wish I had never read this, and 10 being, this is worthy of all praise imaginable. Sure. Where do you think it falls?
So I'll lump the books together. As much as I'm loath to do so, because I did like one a little bit more than the other.
Which one did you like more?
I like The Looking Glass for intellectual purposes more. Mm. Even though story-wise, I think Alice's Adventures in Wonderland was a little more fun.
Okay.
To lump them together, I would give them, I would say 7.5.
Okay. I was going to say 6.
A 6? Okay. Because it is something that I probably would read again
but
for
it
intellectual
is like
purposes.
Slightly a chore.
It is. It is. But and that's why I think even in rereading it again, I would probably do so out loud.
I recommend listening to like a version that I did where I listened to Scarlett Johansson. It's more fun to get through when someone's doing voices, especially when it's someone famous.
It is. And that's one of the things I found myself doing reading out loud is I would attempt to do voices while mm-hmm. I was doing it. But I tend to do that with books anyway. And I also have a tendency to read the dialogue out loud and kind of whisper the narration part of it. So maybe that adds to it in my enjoyment. But I liked it for the intellectual dialogue, both of them, whether it was the double meaning. And I think the reason I would read it again is because part of me wants to go back and see what I missed. Hmm. So that's where I lie.
All right. Okay, what about the 1951 Disney film? It's all arbitrary.
It is. I would probably have to say, for it just as for it being fun, I would say for me it's probably one of the higher Disney movies that I can put on and watch again.
So it's so much fun.
I would say an 8.
Okay. Yeah. I think I will say a 9.5.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to give it a 10. But it's just, I was surprised because it's been a while since I've watched it. And I loved it growing up. But I was very surprised at how fun it was.
And the music was
really great. Well done. The music's great. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like a nonstop ride. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. Like, I mean, the slowest scene is the Tolkien Wood scene still, obviously. But it should be slow. But yeah, it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. All right. And then lastly, the Hallmark one. Do you want me to give mine?
Yeah, give yours.
7. I'm going to give it 7 because it is a little slow. Mm-hmm. I'm giving it a lot of grace because it's a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
And the casting really elevates it. Mm-hmm. But it's not something I could watch all the time. But it's still really great. Like, it's amazing, yeah. And I love it. But I think I'd have to give it a 7.
Okay. So, which is, I was vacillating between a 7 and a 7.5. But I think, yeah, I would have to give it a 7 because I'm more likely to read the stories again than I am to go and watch that.
Oh, no. Although I did enjoy much more. I'd much rather watch it than read the book.
Okay. Yeah, no, I would rather read it than watch it.
Because I think I gave the book a 6, right?
You did, yeah.
maybe I need to give it an 8 then.
All right, cool.
Great. Okay, so now it's time for our favorite part where we talk about what type of adaptation is this. And if you have not listened to any of our episodes before, please go check out the trailer for this podcast where we do talk about the different types of adaptations that I came up with. There are 4. I think I should have come up with a 5th one. Like, I think we need one called Condensed.
Yeah.
But it's too late now. Anyway, there's 4 types. The first is true to source material. Mm-hmm. The second is expanded. Third is artistic. And the 5th is message driven.
Yeah.
So we'll do the Disney version and the Hallmark version. The Disney version, in your opinion, is what type of adaptation?
Artistic.
Okay. Why?
Because of the license they took with it to change it and add stuff in, kind of rearrange things.
Okay. I'm always reminded that according to the limitations that I have imposed upon this type of adaptation, that artistic is usually more like metaphorically driven, and it's where artistic choices are made to enhance like theme and plot and
I always stuff forget like that. The limitations that you place on the definitions.
I want to accept your answer, but you know, I was also pretty rigid in regards to some of that.
I usually change it once you remind me what the definitions are.
I know.
Things become a habit for us.
Well, to be fair, I think a lot of these are kind of a combination.
Yeah.
So, to be fair.
So, list the type of adaptations again.
True to source material, which this is not. Expanded, which it's not.
No.
Because it's definitely shorter. Mm-hmm. And it cuts out a lot. Artistic. And then there is message driven. Message driven is when there is either the plot is a little different or there is a message or a theme or something that is different from the source material.
It is that, but I don't know. I'm torn on this one. I don't know.
I'm going to go with message driven. But it's hard. Yeah. That's why I said I think we need a 5th one called condensed.
Yeah.
And also because it's not intellectual anymore, mm-hmm, in the same way. He made it for an American audience.
In that regard, I could see how it's message driven, yeah, because it's
I'll take your artistically message driven.
Yeah. We'll take half and
half. Because even if it was condensed, it's not true enough to the source material that it would be condensed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then even for the Hallmark one, I think I'd have to go with message driven for sure, because it's more of the characters are there to support her.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. Even though it is closer to
it's like a message driven that's true to the source material. Yes. I know. It's just for fun.
Yeah,
of like course. we try to analyze it and be accurate, but it's just for fun.
If you want real if you want in-depth analysis, there's plenty of books about that.
Oh, why?
I know, they're dry, most of them.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's it.
Great. Well, thank you very much for listening. This has been a very fun one. You don't know this, but we were kind of on a little bit of a hiatus over the summer. If you've been paying attention, there was definitely a few months we did not have episodes coming out. By the time you hear this one, it won't matter because this one will come out in, I think, December. But
we are in our second season.
We are in our second season, yes. And we are very happy that you've been with us this long. Oh, I forgot to say it. I should have said it at the beginning. I want to do a shout out.
Oh, yes.
We have we have someone I have never met. One of our listeners. I was looking at the analytics for our podcast. And I don't know how this works exactly. I don't know if this is multiple people or one really dedicated person. But we have someone I want to shout out to in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said that right. Canada, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. They have some of the highest listens. I think it was 44.
We thank you for that.
So if you're like a town who really loves us, thank you. If you're one dedicated person, send us an email. I would love to meet the person from Saskatchewan.
Love to hear from you, yes.
Yeah. The only reason why I don't think it's only one person from that area is because we only had like 32 episodes when I checked that.
Oh, okay.
And so like, unless they were like re-listening,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it could be one person, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But hey, just wanted to give a shout out.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
you. Whoever you are, definitely write to us. We'd love to hear from any of you who listen to us. Any suggestions?
What's
any...
our email room? I know it's going to be in the outro, but what is it?
I think it's like
Eric
and Romy at willingtoadapt.com. Yes, is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
You were so confident. And it's Romy with an I.
Yes, it is. Romy with an I. So, but no, anything you have to say, any suggestions, anything you like about
our... That's not just
our
friend in Saskatchewan, that's everybody,
please.
Yes, to
any of you, whether you're in Berlin or Singapore or United States or England, write to us, let us know anything you like that we do, anything that we don't, anything that annoys you.
Yes, and tune in next time because we're going to have our special Christmas episode.
Yes, so this one should be coming out before Christmas.
Yes.
So thank you for joining us on this adventure and journey.
Down the rabbit hole.
I know Eric has said this numerous times that we do this for fun. We're definitely not getting paid for it. We do it
if you want to send us money.
you know what? We gladly accept any donations for... We have equipment and other things.
Yes. My routing number.
down the line, who knows? Maybe we'll be able to set something up like that. But hopefully you enjoy listening to these as we are enjoying going through them. For me, I know very much it's a... Eric has opened not just my interest, but also my world in the literature and movies. A lot of these things I never would have touched myself. And so I'm hoping as our listeners... You as well are being encouraged to listen to what we have to say, but also hopefully checking these books out, buying them, renting the movies, streaming them, whatever, but also enjoying hearing a little bit more about culture and things that we don't get to hear about too often in this world. So, all right.
All right. That was very kind of you.
It's always fun.
All right. You all take care of yourselves and catch us next time.
Yes. All right. See you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Willing to Adapt.
Please like and subscribe. Maybe leave a review or just share us with friends and family.
We would also love if you would follow us on social media.
If you have ideas for future episodes for us, please email us at ericandromy@willingtoadapt.com.
That's Romy with an I.
And remember, when the only thing constant in life is change, be willing to adapt.